powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
As a generous, kind, wonderful, giving person. The giving person that I am. I have decided that on today, May 31st, the day of my birth, I will share some of my birthday wishes. I have a handful to give
that
away.
That is so generous of you when
Thank
you have
you.
So many.
I don't know that I have so
give,
many.
Right? Is it based off of the amount of candles you have?
No,
oh,
I don't
that's
think
a lot
that.
Of wishes.
No, that's not a lot.
I was just
going to
say, like, that would
wishes.
Be
it's,
an incredible amount of wishes.
It's slightly over 2 dozen, I would say. Mm. Just slightly.
Okay.
Closer to 3 dozen.
Okay. It's not, but that's fine.
It is actually.
However, it is, Curtis, my birthday, and I am going to give away some of my birthday wishes to you two and to listeners, and we are going to make some birthday wishes for this Mariners series against the Orioles. So you can send in your birthday wish. You only get one. I only have so many to go around. 206-421-3776. Go ahead and use one of my wishes to tell me your birthday wish for the Mariners against the Orioles. Now, I already know mine.
You already know yours? Okay.
I'm going to continue in the vein of loving what I'm seeing from Kyle Lewis. I would love for Kyle Lewis to be able to appear in at least two of these games, ideally the final two, meaning he's coming back and feeling good and finishing out the series. And I would love to see not just like a, you know, 2-3 hits, but maybe another home run. I know that that's a lot. That's a lot of home runs to have in what would be around
short
four
span
games in a very short span. But I mean, birthday wishes, there's no limit. What is the ceiling? There isn't one. So that is my birthday wish.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's a pretty darn good birthday wish. And there's so many. Oh, I hate that I only get one. This is the worst thing that you could do to
well,
me.
Well, I mean, the listeners are using some of them. Again, 206-421-3776. You have to share with everyone, Jake.
Do I want to go team? Do I want to go individual? Team, individual. Team,
maybe
individual.
You go team. I went individual.
Okay. I will. Please don't say that again. I will go. I will go team.
Can I get another birthday?
I'll go teamy. Like, what are we doing? Okay.
Individual.
What?
Or the Mare-Mares?
Oh gosh!
Stop this immediately.
Thanks, Dad. All right. So let's go team. Okay. I want desperately for the Mariners by the All-Star break. Okay. By the All-Star break, I want them to be 5 games above .500. That would
Woo!
Be my birthday wish.
Wow.
5 games above .500.
I like that.
Heading into the All-Star break,
All right.
I would be feeling pretty darn good about these Mariners.
I like it. How long did it take for Stacy to get born? Hasn't her birthday been going on for 2 weeks now? Technically, it's just today, and I believe it was a very quick labor.
It was just more of like 2 weeks of preparing you
Do
that
you know
it was going to be.
I was 9 pounds when I was born.
You were?
Yeah.
Oof, no way.
Yeah, I was. I was a very fat baby. In fact, the nurses did this thing where they were putting up signs at the end of the shift from one nurse to another.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a sign on my crib, like a little sticky note that said, feed me, because it was supposed to start with me. But then the next nurse came in and she thought it was so funny that she went and got my mom and the other nurses to be like, look, the fat baby's crib says, feed me. Isn't
Your
it
mom
funny?
Was like, that's my baby.
Yep.
See,
anywho, I've got some wishes on the text
if,
line.
If your dad was anything like me,
yeah.
I would have looked at that and said, 9 pounds. Okay. All right.
Right on.
Nice.
Maybe.
All
right.
Nice.
Maybe we've got a chance here. Maybe we've got some prospects here. Maybe there's a chance that they, you know, that this is the one, you know? And then lo and behold, you know, Stacy grows up.
I didn't grow that much.
And
bigger.
You know, it you know, really the growth stopped at what? When did you peak?
Probably fifth grade.
Fifth grade?
Fifth
okay.
grade.
All right.
All right. You know. From the 206, Trevor. Trevor says, my birthday is also today. Happy birthday, Trevor. I'm 32, so Trevor gets a birthday wish. It's like double the strength here. The Mariners will sweep the Orioles. Trevor in Seattle using his own birthday wish
wow.
for that one.
Wow.
The Mariners sweeping the Orioles, the most common birthday wish that everyone has. We've also got someone saying, let's see, ultimate birthday wish would be a sweep so they can be relevant in the standings again. Oh, no.
How about this? Jesse Winker learns to hit
okay.
or just hit the other way. I mean, look,
hey,
beggars can't be choosers. How about Jesse Winker hit some home runs? How about that? That would be pretty good.
The 425. My birthday wish against the Orioles is to have George Kirby throw a no-hitter. I mean, that'd be pretty sweet. There's a lot of power with these birthday wishes. Curtis, what would your wish be with the single wish that I'm giving you, that I'm bestowing upon you?
My wish for this series is going to be a team wish, and I think somebody already mentioned it. They want to see a series sweep. I do, too. And the reason why I want to see a series sweep is that this Orioles team, over the last four seasons, in the three full seasons that they have played, remember, 2020 was in a very abbreviated season, this Orioles team has done no better than 108 losses in three of those four seasons.
Oh, boy.
This Orioles team also has a higher win percentage than the Seattle Mariners in 2022.
That can't happen.
That cannot happen. That cannot continue. This Mariners team on paper is better than the Orioles. They should mop the floor with them. Get a sweep. I'll be happy. That's my one
Love
wish.
It.
Okay.
The 253, my wish is to get off to a hot start. We're what, 9 below .500? In order to get Jake's wish, it's got to start now. We need the exact opposite of May.
Do we ever? I mean, honestly. The other thing that I would love to see, you know, in terms of birthday wishes, you know, one of the things that the start of the season, it was, all right, Ty France. I firmly believe Ty France is, I mean, without a doubt, he's going to be our representative in the All-Star game. Like, mm-hmm. Ty France has been absolutely incredible. He's more than deserving. You know, he is the best. Honestly, I would even say this.
500.
What was that?
The last seven, he's hitting .500.
Yeah, it's insane. But I would say even over right now, over Vlad Guerrero, Ty France has been a better player. And statistically, that has been true.
Yeah.
And I think that that's just how good this guy has been playing. But what I would also love to see is some other candidates be mentioned as well.
And you want to see the emergence of another.
I do. J.P. Crawford had an amazing start to the season. You know, from his injury, you know, before the Philly series, he really, really started to go into a major slump over this last month in May. And I would love to see him come back into just playing and being the version that we saw, who was incredibly hot. You know, out of the gate, and it would be awesome to see, you know, JP not just, you know, be around 300, but continue to see him climb. I know that's an incredible ask, and him hitting 306 is an awesome deal right now, but I would just love to see that happen again for him to go on another hot streak here. Mm-hmm. And then for Julio Rodriguez, if he could put another month together like this, I mean, just continue to keep stacking months like this. I mean, you're talking about a runaway for Rookie of the Year.
From the 253, thank you, Stacy, for sharing your wishes. You are so incredibly generous. You guys know that the key to my heart is flattery. I wish that the bullpen does not give up a single run this series. Now, 253, I don't know that wish is going to hold, although I will double my wish for you, and I will add my birthday wish and wish for that as well. But do either of you think that there's some reinforcements coming soon for the bullpen, whether it be health, whether it be a turn of luck, because this just has not been the bullpen they were last year. And maybe that was to be expected, but I wonder if this team was hedging its bets on so much being able to replicate itself from last year, and maybe overlooked that that probably wasn't going to happen for more than just the bullpen, but certainly for the bullpen.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, we talked about not going out there and ensuring that your bullpen was going to be solid, right, with veteran depth. And the reason why is they didn't bank on Casey Sadler getting hurt. They didn't bank on, you know,
second rider regressing.
They didn't plan for that. And also, they thought Ken Giles was going to be a big addition to this bullpen, and we have yet to see him. You know, one piece of good news, as Shannon Dreyer said yesterday on the morning show, was saying that if Ken Giles, everything looks like it's on track to go well, that he is within probably 2 weeks of you know, pitching for the Mariners. So that would be an awesome addition to the bullpen. But you really need to start to find guys that are going to be consistent for you this year. The go-to guys for Scott Servais. Is it going to be Diego Castillo, who has performed a lot better over the recent opportunities that he has gotten? Paul Sewald, we know, is going to be one of those players. Can Penn Murphy, you know, step into that in high leverage situations? He's been good, and he has had a really good start, but can he do that in high leverage situations consistently? We don't know yet, right? And so if you can find more arms that you feel confident in, in high leverage situations. That's certainly going to help this team out in the long run. How about this text, Stacey? You skipped this over, and I don't know why. Stacey being weighed in pounds at birth is crazy. Wasn't that before the American Revolution?
All right.
Why didn't they weigh you using the metric system? I don't know. Maybe Stacey just was converting
King
it for
George.
Everybody. Yeah, she
still
was
under his rule.
She was converting that for everybody, so everybody kind of understood. But it's a good text, 253. It's a good question.
From the 509, time to start setting realistic expectations. Winning a series is hard enough. Asking for a sweep, probably not. Don't forget, this team, Baltimore, is already giving the Boston, Toronto, and the Yankees fits this season. I will say they swept the Red Sox earlier this year, back in April. They, I think, split the series most recently. We're going to talk with Scott Servais in a little under an hour. He's going to join us for the dugout, and we're going to ask him about this Baltimore team that I think he's going to say is a little better than they look on paper. And now, to me, the Mariners should be a better team no matter what. Like you said, Curtis, like the Baltimore Orioles are not a team that is in the same phase of a rebuild that you are. You should be better. But I do think that they've given some good teams headaches.
What I'm surprised Curtis did not have his birthday wish? I know, look, the sweep, yeah, I understand that. But a deeper baseball wish that I thought Curtis would go to is sending Luis Torrens down. Now, Curtis, can you explain why you want this to happen?
That guy had some of the most uncompetitive at-bats I've ever seen in my life on Sunday, especially the one, I mean, he grounded in the double play to end the game, but the at-bat prior, he had two outs, and he flails at pitch number one for a strike, takes strike number two, and then puts a terrible swing on pitch number three to strike out. This guy's hitting, what, like a .160?
Mm-hmm.
No home runs on the season. He is a black hole in the Mariners lineup when he is up there. It's time to send him down. It's time to get somebody in there that can at least give you some competitive at-bats. And look, Cal Raleigh, he's got a very small batting average as well this season, but at least he has given the Mariners some pop out of that spot.
So why do you want him to go down, though? Yes, he is struggling.
Because last year was when Torrens was sent down. He came back, and his season took off. He
That's
hit
right.
like 13, 14 home runs after being recalled. Why not see if there's some of that magic?
I was there for the game that he was recalled back up, and it was against the Houston Astros, I believe, last year at one point. And he came in, and he hit a home run that gave the team major boost. And from that point forward, he was a solid at-bat for this team, bringing in power, driving in runs, hitting for a decent average. And, you know, sometimes these players just need that reset. And what Jerry DePoto say, a life preserver, throwing a life preserver to some of these players. Now, the problem is that you don't have the depth at the catching position that you would like, because if you put down Luis Torrens to the AAA level and send him back with the Rainiers for a period of time, who's going to be the backup, right? And that is a legitimate question that you would have to answer with Cal Raleigh taking over pretty much everyday duties. So that would be a tough thing to do at this point. But, I mean, if you're trying to get your guy reset and right, someone that you're definitely counting on for him to contribute for this team, maybe sending out that life preserver would be a beneficial thing for the team in the long run.
Two separate 360s pointing out Torrens out of options, or they believe he's out of options, which throws a wrench in kind of how flexible you can be.
I mean, at this point, can you be confident that another team would claim him if you sent him through waivers?
It's a good point.
Let me throw in one final birthday wish, because I respect the wordplay. From the 253, I've been wishing for a bike since I turned 7. I wish for a cycle for Julio. I liked it. Let's get to headline rewrites.
extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, the NBA finals are set in stone after the Celtics beat the Heat in Game 7. What's the real headline?
Only the Celtics could make you feel good about rooting for a team that's been in 6 of the last 8 NBA Finals. Which is true. Truly only the Celtics could make you look at the Warriors and go, you gotta love a plucky underdog.
Yeah.
Now, they are not going to be the underdogs in this one, but it's normally I always root for the team that hasn't won as recently, which would be the Celtics, but I just hate Boston teams, truly, with every fiber of my being.
And they've got some good young talent, right? I mean, like, honestly, if they played for any other team, I would watch them and say, man, this is a fun team to watch. I mean, you've got
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, very likable guys.
They are. There's nothing about them that I don't like.
No,
like,
it's not honestly. Them. It's not them. It's Boston fans.
Now, there's one player I can't stand, and I will be rooting so hard against for the Boston Celtics.
Is it Marcus Smart?
Yes!
Marcus Smart.
It is Marcus Smart. And also, there's history here because he played at Oklahoma State against the Kansas Jayhawks, and he is the same exact player, that he was at Oklahoma State as he is in the pros. Just always trying to instigate something. And when he does and gets called for a foul, he tries to argue it and act like he didn't do anything when, you know, literally, I watched a game against the Heat. I think it was game 3 or 4, and he literally tackles somebody on an inbounds play and gets up in the ref's face and acts like, what do you mean? You can't call that on me. I didn't do anything. Like, everybody in the stands and at home knows that it was a foul on you. So if you want to hate on anybody, like, you want to root hate, not only against the Boston Celtics, but like an individual player, Marcus Smart is that guy. He is the Patrick Beverley out of this series. That is a easy person to root against.
Who's your favorite person to root against?
In sports or in the NBA?
I was going to say NBA, but I'll go in sports.
Currently in the NBA, probably like James Harden.
Okay.
James Harden?
Kyrie Irving, he's another one.
Yeah.
I don't like his game.
I would agree with you on that. I think James Harden is someone that is a hard, hard watch for me. Hard watch. And it's also like a lot of his moves are only work in the new NBA where they don't call traveling at all. So, yeah, I would say James Harden.
Curtis, were you going to mention something else?
Yeah, about Marcus Smart. I didn't like that he was named Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA because he's the first guard since Gary Payton to be named that. And I feel like if you're going to name a guard Defensive Player of the Year, it's got to be like a Hall of Fame worthy player, like somebody that is just, you know, the absolute best at his position historically, which Gary Payton was. Marcus Smart, I mean, he's a really good defender. I'm not saying that he's not. It's just that I feel like if a guard is going to win that, he's got to be a generational type defender.
Yeah, and he's not. He's a pest in every sense. Like, it leads to him being a good defender, but it also, for him, it also, he gets away with a lot of dirty stuff. And you know what? You need some guys like that in the NBA to, you know, bring some of the edge. But he is a hard, hard watch. Hard watch.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number 2 on the I Am Athlete podcast. Rams defensive lineman Aaron Donald hinted his return is contingent on getting a new deal done and added he is at peace if no new deal is reached. What's the real headline?
I, too, am at peace if no new deal is reached with Aaron Donald. It's crazy how we are of one mind
here. I can manage if he doesn't come back.
I'm actually going to feel pretty good about it. I think it might be the right call. And if I were to advise Aaron Donald, I'd say, you know what? Maybe not reaching that agreement with the Rams is the move.
I mean, I would say it is the move. I mean, is there a way that we could get in contact with Aaron Donald and his people and just let him know, like, hey, there's nothing you have to prove here, man. Like, you've done everything in this league. You're the greatest defensive player of all time. You're a Super Bowl champion. You have however many defensive MVPs, right? Like, I mean, there's nothing else to accomplish. So just walk away from the game. You got your health intact as a defensive tackle. You got millions of dollars.
You just won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I think now's the time, frankly.
It is. I mean, life after football. I hear an acting career is calling his name. That's just what I've been told. Curtis, don't ask me my sources.
Commercial acting.
But I think that Aaron Donald could have a bright future in acting. And I even heard that the jingle industry is interested in Aaron Donald's services. So,
I could see that.
Look, there's lots of things for him to do outside of football, and I think that he should explore those options, 100%.
Well, look at what the money Tom Brady got from Fox. I mean, that's just awaiting him once he retires. Aaron Donald, I think you could make more outside of the game of football.
Yeah.
No question.
Why are you still playing football, dude?
Why are you letting this hold you back? Why are you letting the game of football define who you are?
Obviously, we will be sad. We will be devastated.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's not about us and what we want.
No, no. We're looking out for his best interest.
Yes.
Headline rewrite.
Headline number three, Real Madrid was crowned UEFA Champions League champions after beating Liverpool 1-0 over the weekend. What's the real headline?
Now they'll finally get a real challenge from the Sounders in January. Let's go. We talked with Brian Schmetzer. When was the Sports Star Awards?
Middle
of the week last week. Who said that the FIFA club thing will be club thing. The FIFA club
the
cup.
Little soccer thing
struggle
that you guys
over.
Got going on.
No, I just hate saying club cup. Will be end of January, early February. Location TBD, by the way.
Well, just looking at the historic discrepancy between Real Madrid and the Sounders. Now, I'm not hating on the Sounders at all.
Like, I don't know, Curtis.
I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying this is like Duke basketball taking on Highline Community College. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's what it. That's what
Curtis,
this is.
It's
like,
not that drastic,
yes, it is.
Curtis.
Yes, it is.
Duke in Highline?
Yes.
Curtis, I think you could do Duke and then like a maybe like a nice state school.
Nah. In terms of like history in the game of soccer.
Well, uh-huh. Yeah, history in the game of soccer. I still
These
think
two
that that's
are
a pretty vast.
Vastly different.
Ooh.
I mean,
look. No disrespect to Highline either. A lot of good people out there.
Yeah, yeah. The people of Highline just catching strays over here. They're like,
really?
what did we do, Curtis? Jeez.
I'm excited to see the matchup when they if they do
same.
Meet in the World
Should
Cup of club
meet?
Soccer.
Yeah.
Cuz I believe 7 teams will make it, so there's not a guarantee that the Sounders
mm-hmm.
will play everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is a huge disparity between the two teams. But I would imagine the Sounders are going to be up for the challenge.
Highline. We are going to be looking around the rest of NFL. We're going to play a little bit of hype train to wrap up Jake and Stacey because technically our show ends in about 40 minutes and we will begin the dugout. All Mariners from 1 to 2. So before we get to that, we're going to go NFL and then we're going to have a little fun with the game. That's all coming your way next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Sunday, June 12th is Little League Day at T-Mobile Park. All kids 14 and under will receive a pair of Ty France wristbands presented by the Mariners Kids Club. Get your tickets now at mariners.com/promotions. All right, let's take a look around the NFL.
Oh, wait, hold on, Stacey. Before we take a look around the NFL, Curtis, there's someone that has called in.
Yeah, there's somebody on line one.
Oh, okay. Can we take this? Can we take this call
yeah,
here?
It's, her name is Mina in Bristol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mina, are you there?
Hello. Yes, not actually in Bristol, but very much here to say happy birthday to Stacey.
Oh my God! Thank you, Mina.
Our own Mina Kimes here.
Oh, thank you for calling in. That's awesome.
On my way onto the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it is awesome for you to call in and wish Stacey happy birthday. We will not hear the end of this,
no,
of course.
No, we won't. You're the best.
but thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us, Mina.
No, thank you for having me. I'm actually in New York right now.
You
in
are?
New York, rather. I always am like, where am I again? But I'm actually in New York, headed back to L.A. shortly.
Okay, nice. So, look, you're all over the place. You're jet-setting all over the place, NFL Live and everything else that you do. And Mina, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity right now in May 31st. We're in this June period.
Yeah,
where
I don't
there's
know if
kind
you knew
of
it was May 31st
a dull kind of stretch here in the NFL a little bit. And as it currently stands with the Seahawks roster, you know, how do you feel about this team? How is it set up for you?
You know, assuming that the two quarterbacks who are on the roster are going to be the two quarterbacks on the team in July, which feels like a safe assumption, although this Baker Mayfield noise keeps kind of popping up every now and then. And it's so funny, guys, because you keep saying, well, the Seahawks remain a possibility, but the Browns want more. And I'm like, the Browns want more? what is happening here? Like, what could they possibly? They have zero leverage over, I guess, like Carolina. I don't know. But you know, I would say that if he was on the team, I would probably have different expectations and different opinions. But just kind of with the roster now, looking at this as a bit of a reset year. Yeah, I think there's things to be excited about. There's draft picks to be fascinated by. There's offensive, defensive philosophies that I like to see play out. But all of that is really contingent on who's playing quarterback. And I know I said defensive philosophies, but I actually feel that's true regardless.
I'm like smiling from ear to ear. They surprised me, and now here I am with you wishing happy birthday and us just talking NFL for a couple minutes. Mina, this is awesome. Thank you again so much. I wanted to actually ask if you not necessarily have a preference for what they do at quarterback, but for this year, but if you're looking at the 2023 draft or hoping that they get their quarterback elsewhere.
You know, it's funny. After all this quarterback mobility, I think there's this kind of assumption now that quarterbacks can go anywhere and, like, every veteran's up for grabs. And I do see that to some extent, but that's also a pretty relatively new phenomenon, especially the number that we saw last season. So I think you can't assume that any veterans, any certainly high upside veterans, will be available. So, you know, I'd be looking to the draft. And that doesn't necessarily mean quote unquote tanking, but just, you know, if the team wants a quarterback next year, and I've seen a fair amount of these college kids play, not as much as I'd like yet necessarily. You know, I would hope coming off of this season that they would be willing to do whatever it takes to get one. And that includes obviously, you know, making trades to move up in the draft, and, you know, using this year as a means of kind of like making the, just getting the team ready for that quarterback. And I think the draft, they went a long way towards accomplishing that goal.
You know, Mina, we haven't talked to you, you know, in a little bit, and we saw the schedule come out. It released. They obviously, the NFL always does something to make any event, you know, as big as possible. And you know, with the first Monday Night Football game being the Seahawks versus the Broncos, I mean, it's as emotional as it gets. What was your reaction when they did make that indeed the first game of the season for the Seahawks, and what type of game are you anticipating it will be?
Oh, you know, excitement. Using my head, I would say I bet you the Broncos is going to be at least a 8-point line in their favor, and they should be favored to win and all of that. But I will say, and this is maybe where my heart comes in a little bit, you know, this defense, I think, has a chance to be better than people expect. And I also think they're very familiar with the quarterback on the other side of the field. I think all the coaches are very familiar. And that's a quarterback who also will be spending this offseason, you know, getting to know an entirely new offense and to familiarize himself with the skill players around him. So I actually think, weirdly, that on that side of the ball, it could be a little bit closer than people think. Unfortunately, I do think Denver's defense should be better than they were last year and could be amongst the league's best. So I think they might give the Seahawks offense some trouble.
Hey, Mina, you guys have been giving your colleague Dan Orlovsky a really hard time. Now, let me get this right. He doesn't like cake. He thinks it's gross or dry,
yeah,
or overrated.
He doesn't like anything. He truly doesn't like any foods, though. It's like a child, but then the child doesn't like cake and pizza. I don't know.
So
it's
just nothing. Well, he just likes protein powder. I was going to ask you to put yourself on the spot and tell us your most controversial food take, because we are a show with many food opinions. And unfortunately, Mina, we're now dragging you into it.
Well, I've given one on the internet, which is that, you know, everyone always says they hate honeydew, but I just think they're eating bad honeydew.
Mm.
I think it's an unfairly maligned fruit. And then if you have good honeydew, your opinion will change dramatically. I'll throw out another one. I'm not a big mint chocolate chip person. I tend to err on the side of this. I have to have a lot of chocolate. Otherwise, I just feel like I'm eating toothpaste.
Tough stuff, but fair. Tough stuff, but fair. Hey, Mina, if you're looking around the rest of the NFL, I can see 1,000,005 teams in the AFC that I think will be a playoff team, but obviously they are not all going to get in there. Is there a team or two that you think could underperform?
Ooh, underperform. So, you know, it's funny. I'm kind of copying my head. Cam Hayward on my podcast, Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, first defensive tackle, who is a fantastic listen. And I asked him, who, if there was a team he thought was being sort of overestimated, and he said one that I agree with, and that's Miami. You know, they have put the quarterback in a great position to succeed with some of their offseason acquisitions. The defense has been really competitive and, you know, really super strong in recent years, but they did lose their defensive-minded head coach and, you know, Brian Flores, as well as a couple of guys on that side of the ball. And then offensively, I think, you know, I just kind of still have to see it to believe it when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa. So that's one where I think it could be, especially in a division with the Bills and the Pats. I don't know. I think it could be a little bit tricky for them.
Mina, speaking of the Pats, I have never, ever seen a situation quite like they have going on with their offensive coordinator or lack thereof and the decision to go with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, deciding between those two guys. Mina, I am at a loss for words as to what they're doing over there. This is either Bill Belichick being an evil genius yet once again, or we could be seeing this move go so far south that you start to really see, you know, Pats fans and everyone else really start to get frustrated with Bill Belichick.
It is very strange to not have a named offensive coordinator by now, but I will say this is a Patriots team that never named a defensive coordinator for years. I mean, recently, like, it's been Steve Belichick calling plays, but they've never officially said so, at least not until recently. And, you know, it's always been kind of unclear who's calling the shots. So I think while I share some of the, I guess, I wouldn't say concern, but like confusion when it comes to what they seem to be doing offensively, I would also add this is a football team that's very committed to obfuscation, and it wouldn't surprise me if that's playing a role in all of this.
I think they should do it like dating show style, with just like wait until the day before week one, and then you give out a single clipboard like Tyra Banks. I have two offensive coordinators that stand before me. Like, I just think that that's the approach.
Ooh, I like that. Or like The Bachelor, but Mac
exactly.
Jones.
Exactly. Exactly. You just have the host walking in. Just coordinators. Bill, this is the final rose. All right. She is Mina Kimes of ESPN. You can listen to her latest pod, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. She mentioned that interview with Cam Hayward, and that's her top pinned tweet, so you can find it on there or obviously on Apple Podcasts. Mina, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And again, happy birthday. I hope you celebrate.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Mina.
From the Mac and Jack's text line, I was definitely going to call in to wish Stacey a happy birthday, but she's been so tight-lipped about it, I completely forgot it was today.
Yeah.
Sorry, you guys.
Same.
I keep forgetting to mention that today is my birthday. It's my birthday today. Today is my birthday, May 31st. I just keep forgetting to mention that today is my birthday. We are going to have the Scott Service Show kicking off the dugout beginning at 1 p.m. from 1 to 2. It is all Mariners. You guys, that was really fun. Thank you for that surprise interview. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
All right, so Scott Service coming your way in 20 minutes. Before then, we are playing a game, one of my favorite games, Hype Train. It's coming your way next.
Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle's Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
This hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. The dugout begins in less than 15 minutes. You are less than 15 minutes away from our interview with Scott Service. Before then, though, just like we do every Tuesday, every Thursday, it is time for Hype Train. Curtis, take us to the station. Here's how it works. I tell you a trend, a prediction, a take in the world of sports this week, and you tell me whether you buy it. If so, you're boarding the train. If you think it's all hype, you're staying on the platform, letting it go on by. So here we go. Hype train number one. The Mariners don't just take game one of their series against the Orioles. They win the series. Much needed, by the way. Jake, are you boarding?
Who? That they win the series?
Win the series.
Yeah, I'm boarding this. And because I need... I need them to win this series so bad. Look, if you're going to stop talking about what you hope happens and you actually, you're at the point where you can't, how do I want to say this? You have to get, to, you are at the point where you can't hope and wish anymore. It has to be done. It has to be done. You have to start seeing it for it to come alive. And they have to start winning series like this against the Orioles and against the Rangers, and they have to start building legitimate momentum for themselves to be able to get themselves out of the hole that they have dug, and they have to be able to start, you know, approaching the Angels. They have to start approaching where the Houston Astros are. They have to be able to put themselves in that position in the month of June so that they can really truly compete and be an active team when it comes to the playoff push and when it comes to the trade deadline and all those things. So you need to see the Mariners really start to turn things around. It can't be talk anymore. It can't be expected batting averages. It can't be hope. It's got to be do. Do. It's got to happen.
Curtis, the hype train is that the Mariners don't just take game one in their series against the Orioles. They win the series. Are you boarding?
I think I'm getting aboard. I think I am on this train.
You say I think, like you're convincing yourself.
I know I'm
yourself.
On this train. Yeah, okay. I am convincing myself. I do think the Mariners pitching matchups in this series do go their way. You got George Kirby tonight against Brian Baker. That's still not a real person. 4.66 ERA. who's
Brian
this guy?
With a Y,
Kyle
too.
Kyle Bradish?
Not real.
7.31 ERA. That's Wednesday starter. Robbie Ray, you gotta earn your keep here. By the way, have you seen the beef that exists between Robbie Ray and Orioles manager Brandon Hyde?
No, what happened?
Brandon Gustafson tweeting about it last night on Twitter there.
No, nothing about this.
Apparently, Brandon Hyde last year was not too pleased with how long Ray was taking in between his pitches and was caught on the field mic kind of yelling at him and stuff. So I hope for Robbie Ray's sake he goes even longer between
I hope he
pitches
takes his
on
time
Wednesday.
And he looks at him for one of them. He looks at him and then like kind of adjusts his cap.
Oh, man, it would be so good.
I will board this train. I think that this is a winnable series, and maybe more importantly, they need to win. So, all right, next hype train into the station. Here we go. Going to the NFL for this one. One of the biggest NFL headlines is Aaron Donald on the I Am Athlete podcast, not only implying that his return to the Rams is contingent on a new deal, but also saying that he'll be at peace if that deal doesn't happen. So here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boring. Aaron Donald is not a Ram in 2022.
I'm not boarding this hype train as much as I would love to board this train. It's not happening. Look, the Rams are in position to go after another Super Bowl. You have a very few opportunities in your career, and some, none at all, to be able to go and compete and have the fortune of winning a lot of football games, go and win your division, and then compete for Super Bowls. You don't pass up those opportunities because you're squabbling over money. Aaron Donald's getting paid. Yes, he isn't the highest paid defender, and he should be. But honestly, I think Aaron Donald at this point in his career, he should be okay with that. Get a little bump in pay and go after another Super Bowl, because ultimately that's what your legacy is going to be about.
The hype train is that Aaron Donald is not a Ram in 2022. Curtis, if you stay on the platform and you don't board the train, it means you see Aaron Donald with LA this season.
Unfortunately, I am stuck at the terminal here. I am eating my Cinnabon. I am not getting on this train. I wish I was. I wish I was. It looks like it's going to a great destination, but unfortunately, Aaron Donald will reign terror on the NFC West for at least one more season.
Yeah.
I wish I could uproot and go wherever it is that train's going, but I can't.
I'm going to be with you guys on this one. Last hype train into the station.
And oh, it's a bummer.
All right, a bummer
that so we are not getting on this train. Because
the worst Cinnabon I've ever had.
It's horrible. All right, going to the NBA Finals here. It doesn't begin game one until Thursday, but we're going to look really far ahead and tell you the winner. This is the hype train. The Warriors will win their fourth title.
I'm boarding the train. Boarding the train. Look, I think the Celtics, they have a lot of depth, and this is going to be a really fun series because both teams do have a lot of depth. And every aspect about your team in terms of defensive position players, do you have, you know, guys that can control the middle of the paint? Do you have shooters? I mean, you look across all, you know, each team, they all have these things. And so it's going to be fun to watch these teams that have a lot of depth, have star talent, be able to go toe-to-toe. But I just believe that the Warriors, they are in better position. They have the experience. They know what it's like being there. And I do think that that means something, that there is value in that. And that's ultimately why I think the Warriors will win their fourth title.
Curtis, the hype train is that the Warriors will win NBA Finals beginning on Thursday. Is that what you see? Are you boarding the train?
I'm boarding. I think the Golden State Warriors get it done. I think Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green win their fourth title together, which puts them in some pretty rare air. I think only the combination of Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Tim Duncan have ever won more as a trio.
Yeah.
So boy, I have a very hard time picking against the Warriors in this stage of the season. Steve Kerr, maybe the best coach in the NBA right now. It seems like the Warriors are going to get it back.
If Thompson can stay healthy too, and you manage to keep all those guys out there.
He seems like he is, I guess, I wouldn't say past his injury troubles, but they have not flared up since he's returned to the lineup.
All right, that will do it for Hype Train, and that's actually going to do it for Jake and Stacey. Now, we will stay with you guys, but we will become the Dugout. All Mariners from 1 to 2 p.m., and it begins with the Skipper. The Scott Service Show is next.